Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the 10th chapter in the Gospel of Luke. And today we'll be reading only from verse 38 to verse 42. Finishing the chapter. Let me read it to you. You can follow along in your own Bibles. Now it happened as they went that he entered, that is Jesus, entered a certain village, and there a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone. Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Amen. This little story about Mary and Martha, it's included here in the story, the Gospel of Luke, but it's not in chronological order. So it's been taken from a different time, taken out of its, not its context, but taken from a different time and added here at the end of this chapter. So we know that in this time frame, in this little, where Jesus is crossing the border, from the Jordan into Judea, back and forth. He has not yet gone to this village. So the writer has taken the story from another time and has inserted it into the narrative here. It's been done very purposely with an order to try and balance and give perspective on the story that preceded it. We remember, I know it's been a long time since I preached. It feels like months, although it's been, 2 weeks, I think? I don't know. We were looking at the story of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus is teaching on what it means to love your neighbor, to have mercy. And in order to balance that story, the writer, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, takes an event that happens in the future and adds it to the bottom of the Good Samaritan story to try and to help us not to go too far to one side, not too far to another, but to remain balanced. No, we as human beings, we have the tendency to go one way or the other to the other way. And it's very rarely that you find a balanced person in their belief systems. And as human beings, we are all too apt to give ourselves over to works or expectation of reward because of something that we have done. And so this story is put in here to remind us that salvation is not the result of works or human effort. It is to remind us that we are to be the disciples of Christ. Remember, we all know the story here of the good Samaritan, where Jesus then eventually tells the man who asked him, he says, "Go you and do likewise. Show mercy on those who don't deserve mercy." And it can be taken almost that we give ourselves to mercy missions or social gospel kind of things, where we are more focused on helping people and doing good things and being lovely people. I try to be a lovely person. Y'all know that. Yeah, I know. I love that snigger there. Here it is included to balance up the lesson. Let's look at it. It says, "Now as they went, He entered a certain village. We know that village to be Bethany. It's in John 11 and 12 where we're introduced to this family group. These are the sisters of Lazarus. Mary, or Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And in John 11, it talks about this was the village of Mary, but this is the household of Martha. They were the sisters of Lazarus. You kind of see the dynamic. This was a family that was very important to Jesus. They were friends. Indeed, we know that when Jesus gets the message that Lazarus has died, he wept. The shortest verse in the New Testament. Jesus wept. We understand that there was a connection, a closeness, an intimacy here between this family and Jesus. Mary, we know, was the lady who anointed his feet with her tears. Remember? Washed it with her tears and dried it with her hair. She's also the lady who anoints his head with oil, what was it called, spikenard, in preparation for his death, causing Judas to become very offended because he saw the worth of the spiced oil and was like, could this not have been sold for, I think, was it 300 denarius or something this year? Fortune. And the money given to the poor. But he only said that because he was a thief and he desired the money for himself, or a portion of the money. This is a very important family for Christ. And as we're looking, we see that it's a very human picture. They're there, they're having a feast or a dinner, a big multitude. They come together and the lady of the house, Martha, is very busy preparing. Now, Jesus would have obviously been there with his disciples. They may have had their entourage. They may have had Pharisees, Levites there. So when we think of it, it wasn't an intimate, small dinner, you know, just a few of us together. It was a feast. Like we have a church feast. Everyone's invited. Everyone's available. Come and enjoy with us. And so in this, we're told that Martha at this time welcomed Jesus into her house and was busy with the preparations of the feast, getting everything done. There's no problem there. She did what was right. And we all kind of know people like that. People who are over the top in their yes-vendly hits, you know, their hospitality, making sure that everything's perfect, all the napkins need folded the right way, all the spoons need to be polished, there needs to be exactly how many cups, do we have enough of everything? And this woman, again, house pride, there's nothing wrong with that. Taken up with all the details, working hard to make sure that Jesus has everything, and we don't believe that she was doing it because she was trying to impress Jesus so that everybody thought that she wasn't, you know, impolite or dirty, you know, in that sense. But she was motivated by love, motivated by servitude to Jesus. She was doing this out of a sense of servanthood. All very good. All very kind, all very right. No one can ever criticize her for her servant spirit. You couldn't say, well, this woman, do you remember the story about the Pharisee? Jesus went to the Pharisee's house. I think his name was Simon. And he got there and the Pharisee didn't offer Jesus any water to wash his feet or oil to kind of freshen himself up. They went to have dinner and Jesus was sat at the bottom of the table. And they more or less ignored them. And Jesus rebukes that man. And it's a great insult. Jesus makes very clear the man's insult and the man's hypocrisy. And bad manners are exposed. Well, there's none of that in this. Here's a woman doing everything right. Working hard to provide for Christ. To make sure that he's refreshed and restored. So that he's able to do his mission. All very, very good. I've heard so many messages about Martha. Martha was doing everything wrong and Mary was doing everything right. Well, here's a woman. Honestly, she's doing everything right. She is working hard for the kingdom of God. You cannot take that away from her. And then it flips to Mary. And it says, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at the feet of Jesus. Did you notice that? Did you notice that key word there? Also sat at the feet. The word also means, it can be taken one of two ways. Either Martha was sitting at the feet of Jesus, or Mary was also preparing and doing things in for the feast and for the preparation. So it's not a case of one or the either. You know, that either, you know, Mary's doing all the work. I know Martha's doing all the work and Mary's doing nothing. She's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. When you see that word also, you must understand that she was also serving, but also then she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. When the work was done, she sat down at the feet of Jesus. Far too often we forget that. Far too often we just ignore that word and skip over it. Also, she sat also at his feet and heard his word. And then verse 40, it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. With a little serving? Nah. With much serving. And she approached him and said, that is Jesus, and said, and I love this, she scolds Jesus. She comes. I can just imagine her in the kitchen and you know, doing all the work, and she's got all the servants are there. If they had servants, we believe that they had servants because it would have been a big household. And she's busy, and you can just kind of see that tornado going inside her, that swarm of bees. She's very conscious that her sister has stopped working and is sitting down listening to Jesus, and I'm here doing all the work, carrying all the burden. When does my work stop? When do I get a break? When is my turn to sit at the feet of Jesus? Why is she not in here and I'm not out there? And she goes to Jesus and she, scolds him, tells him off. Lord, don't you see? Don't you care about me? When do I get my time? And she wants Jesus to tell her sister off. Woman, get up and help your sister in the kitchen. And you know, Martha, she's a great heart. She's a big heart. Again, it wasn't a little intimate feast. Wasn't a little intimate dinner between two or three people. It was a crowd. And she's working hard. So we should never take that away from her. She's serving Jesus with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. She's giving everything that she has and a little bit more. We can never despise her for her service. If anything, we must maybe envy her. We must in some way, somehow admire her, because all too often we just sit at the feet of Jesus but don't do the ox. The oxo. What's that in English? Also. Excuse me. This woman has a great heart. She comes. She wants Jesus to get my sister to come up and help serve. But Jesus is having none of it. Because this is the lesson that the Holy Spirit through the writer wants us to know. To understand. To get clear, to keep us out of one ditch or the other, but to walk that path, there must be a balance. See, poor Martha had become distracted. I think when I was looking up this week, the word in Swedish is oroad or plågad. in one of the translations that I looked at. She was literally out of her mind with worry and concern. All she could see were the difficulties and the things that needed to be done. And she found no end to it. I'll just do this and then I'm done. And then when she did it, oh, there's that needs to be done and that needs to be done and that needs to be done. And you know, what if? And there was 100 million, that's an exaggeration, we all understand that, legitimate reasons why not to go and sit at the feet of Jesus. Things needed to be done, and if she didn't do them, they were not going to get done. And so there were all these legitimate reasons. It wasn't like she was procrastinating. It wasn't like she was putting it off. You know, I don't really want to go in there and be with Jesus, so I'll try and find something. She was a woman of responsibility. A woman who knew that she had a part to play and that she needed to play it. Tradition tells us that Martha was the head of the house, meaning her mom and dad had probably died. We know nothing of a husband or a wife, or husbands for Martha and for Mary. We think that they were three siblings living together. Martha, the oldest sister, had become the mom, the dad. And that she was used of governing the house, caring for everybody, making sure that everybody had everything met. She was a mom. We all know women like that, don't we? Who you come into their sphere of influence and they just adopt you right away. And they make sure that you have, you know, your shoes are clean, your hair is brushed, your teeth are clean. They ask you, do you have a... They find out that you're going to go cycling in your bike and they ask you, do you have a helmet? Do you have lights on your bike? Do you have a reflex vest? It's very dark this time of year. You know, we know women like that, don't we? At least I know women like that. And the Bible tells us that she had become distracted. Legitimate reasons had robbed her from the joy of sitting at the feet of Jesus. And instead of repenting, instead of saying, you know what, the dishes will do themselves later. You know what? Coffee can take care of itself afterwards. We only have Jesus here this once. I don't know when he's coming back again. I'm going to go and sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the word, because it's more important that I hear the word than I prepare the coffee or get the dishes washed or organize the slaves or servants or whatever they were. She was distracted. And in her distraction, that frustration and that bitterness grew up inside her. That sharpness. And I like this woman. She was sharp. I mean, she had the moxie to go to tell Jesus off. She just stormed into that room. I'm sure everybody was there. And she breezed in like Hurricane Martha. Whoosh, hair like this. And she spoke to the Lord. Don't you care. You know, and you could just kind of feel everybody going, awkward and uncomfortable. And everybody kind of looking at Mary like, you're going to get such a problem, Mary, now you're in trouble. And yet Jesus, understanding the problem, because he's God and he knows everything. He knows the difficulties and the hardships. He sees Martha's servant spirit and tremendous sense of responsibility. She's responsible for all these things. He senses the overwhelming burden of unfairness that she carries. It's unfair that I have to be this responsible person. And those wasters just get to sit at his feet and enjoy all the goodness, and I have to do all the work behind. In church life, 100 years ago, whenever we were in the old life, we used to always complain, not in this church, but in other churches that I was part of, that we had 20% of the church who would actually do things and 80% of the church who would do nothing. And it bred hostility in the congregation, that you had this small group of people who were always responsible for everything. So when we needed someone to drive a bus, we had one person. And we had several bus drivers in the congregation, but we only had one man who would ever stell up. What's that in English? Stell up. Volunteer. Thank you, son. Volunteer for anything. And I remember I went to the other bus drivers and said, listen, we have a team coming from abroad. We need bus drivers to come and help pick them up. I can't do it. What, are you busy? No, I just don't want to. I don't want to put myself in a position where I have to work. And he actually, that was literally what he said. And I was like, but I'll come to the outreach events. I'll come and see what you're doing. I just don't want to actually be a part of what was going on. I don't want to have any. I remember another time when we were looking for cleaners for the church building. And we tried to put a church rota up. You know, people who would clean the toilets on a Monday after Sunday service, run the Hoover across the floor, perhaps an hour's work at the most on a Monday or a Tuesday, put the chairs back to where they were supposed to be. And we had, 80, 90 people in the church? 5 people signed their names on the rota. All pensioners, all old ladies. All ladies who, when they pushed the vacuum cleaner around, you would have thought that they were about to keel over because the vacuum cleaner was old and heavy. And Martha carries that bitterness. She's always the one that has to do all the work. She's the only one who really knows what she's supposed to be doing. And Jesus senses this. He senses that great overwhelming unfairness that she carries. And there is this part of her that wants Jesus to punish her little sister for the easy life that she has. That wants Jesus to make it all fair and right and balanced. But in her idea, it's not balance, it's make her like me. Let her feel the weight of the responsibility of having to do everything. And let me be the one who lies back and enjoys the freedom. Now, Martha could never lay back and enjoy the freedom of doing nothing. That woman didn't have 1 ounce of lay back and just let other people do it. She always had to be in the middle. Always had to be involved. Remember when Lazarus had died and Jesus hung back for several days, and then when he went on, it was Martha who came running to Jesus when he came. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Here's a woman who doesn't know what the word rest means, to be honest. She's got Duracell batteries in herself. You know, she just keeps going and going and going. But in this instance, she's just had enough. The unfairness that Mary has now stopped working and sitting at Christ's feet, listening to his word, is too much. She goes to Christ. She tells Christ off, scolds him. And Jesus turns to her and he gives the most sensitive, gentle, caring rebuke. Now, it is a rebuke. But it is done so in such a wonderful, sensitive way. I'm not a real sensitive guy. You all know that. I apologize greatly. Jesus demonstrates wisdom and care and compassion to this woman. He says, Martha, Martha. I read in one of the commentaries this week, it shows that Jesus liked to say things twice. A lot. Truly, truly, I say unto you. And he liked to repeat himself. He had this speech pattern where he would say, Johanna, Johanna. Ah. You know? Joel, Joel, let me tell you. I think it's wonderful. It's such an intimate little glimpse into who Jesus was. It wasn't enough to just say your name, but there's a sense of intimacy and care and closeness there. And he said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. So he acknowledges the kind of person she is. She acknowledges her difficulty. He shows he understands. He sees what she's doing. Her hard work. But he also sees her worry. Her burden. That she is troubled. Again, the word plogad or uruad. She's being hurt by this concern. It's doing her no good. It's tying her up in knots and making her bitter against her sister. Jesus sees and knows and makes it plain and clear that he understands, but also that the woman understands what the real problem is. And then he says there in verse 42, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the good part. Now, I want you to be sure that you understand what I'm saying. He wasn't saying that you have to work and just sitting at my feet is enough. That discipleship is just hearing my words and that's all. Because earlier we read the word also, oxo. She had been serving, and when she had finished serving, she then sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his teaching. She was being discipled by him. She was learning from the master. She was drinking in him, his wisdom, learning from him. What is the way of God? What does God require from me? That word also is so important. Because we can become so concerned and troubled about the human things, about the serving, especially in church life. We can get so caught up in our meetings, whether it be worship meetings. I love it. In the old life, we used to say, so how was church? Meaning, how was Sunday service? Oh, it was brilliant. It was like the Lord came down. We had 60 people at church on Sunday. Really, we had like 10 of the church and lots of visitors. And they were there not to hear the word of God, but because the music was entertaining and for the fellowship afterwards. Coffee and friendship. But if you were to ask them what was in the preaching, what did Christ say to you, what was shared, they'd be like, I don't know. What Bible text did the preacher speak from? What did you learn about Jesus? Oh, he's so enjoyable. I really love him. We are so apt, so able to fall into the pattern where we become so concerned, so distressed, so taken up with the things of this life, of earthly things, that we forget that our life is to be one of sanctified servanthood. That we are saved to serve. But first we must learn from the Savior. Someone once said to me, well, that's the kind of guy you are, Kyle. That's just your nature. You're a Mary. And I'm a Martha. I like to be in the kitchen working hard. And you're the kind of person who likes to be at the front of church doing all the spiritual stuff. And that person just did not understand this story. Didn't understand what was going on there. Mary understood that in order to really serve Christ, she needed to be able to listen to his words, to absorb his teaching, to emulate his lifestyle. Christ is not concerned about having mindless slaves, drones, like the Borg, who just wander around doing their functions, not feeling, not thinking. He desires followers, people who walk in his ways and keep his requirements, who love him not just with their body and their effort, but with their mind, with their heart. They think these things through and they've taken time, balanced time, to sit and to learn from Jesus. How do we learn from Christ? From this book. From this book. We have an obligation as individual believers to learn what God has said and is saying to us today through this book. But also we have an obligation as believers to assemble together as a flock, as a body of believers, a congregation, a fellowship, and to be fed the word of God through pastors stroke teachers, Ephesians 4 and 11. That God has burdened some of us with the responsibility of teaching, of instructing. We have that part where we all are required. We all need to come and sit and listen to the words of Christ. Not the words of Kyle. Not the words of Don or Daniel or Joel or anyone else here. But the words of Christ. We must speak his words. We must demonstrate his life. There is only one thing that is required. That we serve him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That we sit at his feet. That we drink in his teaching. We absorb it into ourselves. It's not enough that you know theology. Theology will never save you. Theology will never give you faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And believe me, again, I love theology. I'm a theological nerd. I could sit and talk a whole night long about ridiculous, silly theology. But this is the inspired word of God. It's this that strikes men in their heart. The Bible says of itself, the word of God is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. Calvin's words, do they convict the soul? Nope. Luther's words, The Bondage of the Soul, one of the greatest Christian books ever written. Does it convict the soul? No. Does it convert the soul? No. Mortification of Sin by Owens, one of my favorite books. Does it convert the soul? No, it's challenging, but it'll not save you. Beloved, we all need to be reminded not to be like Martha. We all need to be reminded that we must walk a balanced life like Mary. That we are required to work hard, to serve Christ, to give our all in order that his kingdom might be built, that his glory might be extended throughout this nation. We must serve our brothers and sisters. Remember, they just weren't serving Jesus, ignoring everybody else. Lazarus would have been there. The 12 would have been there. Pharisees would have been there. Levites, their neighbors, would have been there. They were feeding and, I was going to say whining, I don't know if that's a word, making sure everybody had a drink in their hand and things like this. They didn't have coffee, so weak wine is what they drank. That's important. That is vitally important. That's a demonstration that you're understanding the teachings of Christ and applying them. The danger is when you get so distracted, so distressed, that all you see is the work that you're doing, your part, and the inactivity of everybody else. And then what happens is you begin to get tied up in knots. Begin to grind your teeth and bite your nails and pull your hair out or your beard out, depending who you are. And a root of bitterness begins to grow up inside you. And if Jesus was nearby, you would scold them. Lord, rebuke them. Tell them off. Make them work. Jesus would remind you very carefully that you need to take time to spend time in his presence. You need to hear his word and to put it into practice in your life. You can't say, well, I'm all about the spiritual stuff. I'm like Mary. I just want to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn. I just want to be in my theology books. I just want to absorb the Bible. Oh, it's so good. But then when it comes to time to putting that faith into action, when it comes to put rubber on the road, as it were, your foot upon the road, when it begins to pay the price of loving your neighbor as yourself, you're like, nah, I'm more like Mary. I'll leave it to you Marthas out there to do the rest. Like, I can just sit here and be comfortable. That's such a lie of the devil. It's a lie of our flesh. We are being reminded that there's a responsibility. We all have a part to play. We all must be involved. Also. We must do one and the other. Not one or the other. One and the other. You must serve your brothers and sisters. You must serve Christ by serving the church. And then you must also sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. You must drink it in, absorb it, swell up. We have acorns in the house. Levi has taken lots of acorns from a tree near the Dagus, and we have brought them home. And we have the crazy idea that one day we will plant an acorn tree. What's that? An oak tree, not an acorn tree. And so we have them in little cups of water, little glass cups. And the acorns have swollen up. They have absorbed the water. And now they've burst out of their shells. And we're beginning to see little shoots come out of them. Levi's like, let's go plant them in the garden now. Now, obviously, we can't do that. We need for them to grow a little bit longer. We're going to put them in plants, pots, and nurture them and help them and all the rest. But those seeds need to be put in water, in moisture, before, and they need to swell. They need to absorb that moisture, those nutrients, before there comes any kind of fruit or life or things like this. And in the same way, it takes for that acorn to be submerged in the water, to be in the moisture before it, and to swell up, to absorb, before it can begin to grow and have a shoot. You and I need to be submerged in Christ. We need to be surrounded by him. We need to be being fed constantly. This is a gentle rebuke and reminder, beloved. This is not a choice. Which one are you today? If you're a Martha, oh, that's a terrible thing. Martha's a hero. Okay, I wish to God we had more Marthas in the church. Martha's problem was she got distracted. 100 million different legitimate reasons why she couldn't, why she shouldn't. If she didn't do it, it wouldn't get done. Jesus says, there's but one thing that is needed. Let those worries worry for themselves. They'll care for themselves tomorrow. You need to be in Christ. Those who are giving out. And we see actually Jesus emulating this teaching as well. Do you remember when Jesus was in the house of Peter in Capernaum and he was healing? The Sabbath day ended and the people came by night and he was healing all night long, casting out demons. Not the Benny Hinn kind of thing, but And at the end of when the new day came, he sneaked away, didn't he? To find the presence of God, to pray. And then when the disciples were looking for him the next day, they couldn't find him. And Peter tried to scold him and tell him. And he says, come on, we have other work to do. Let's go. Jesus understood that there is a necessity for work and secretly being in the presence of God. Secretly drinking in, communing with. There has to be a reality. Otherwise, it just becomes a religion of works, of good works, of being a social gospel. We are religious people. At least I am religious, okay? I religiously pray. I religiously read my Bible. I religiously, you know, don't swear, for the most part. My kids look at me and go, Dad. We live religious lives. But if that's all there is to us, we are as dead as this wood from which I'm preaching. There must be a living aspect to our faith. There must be a communing, an abiding, a secreting away, and spending time with the true and living God. My challenge to you today: have you made the same mistake of Martha? Being so caught up with the legitimate reasons, distractions, other things, that you have no time to spend with Christ. You have no time to sit at his feet and just listen and drink in and be there. It is such a common mistake that we all do. We who are fathers and have children, our children's lives interpose on our communion with Christ. We have wives, we have cats, we have jobs and friends. We have Facebook these days. It seems to take up more of our life than anything else. May God forgive us. We have our careers. We have our finances. And 100 million legitimate reasons. Until finally we get so embittered, so dry, so worn out, so tired, that we must come to Christ and complain and scold him and tell him off and ask him to punish everybody else. The problem isn't with everybody else, beloved. The problem is that you and I have not put the first thing first. Living and walking a balanced life. Serving and communing. Sitting at the feet of God. My challenge is to use today. Are you able to be like Mary? To walk that balanced path? To be able to say, enough's enough, I need to sit at his feet. To be able to understand that man cannot live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you understand that little ord sprock? It's not talking about bread. He's talking about spiritual nourishment. The things of this life will never nourish you spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. You must find your nourishment. You must find your strength in and through and by him, in his presence. Beloved, have you simply become religious? Doing religious things, reading religious books, thinking religious thoughts. Not doing stuff. It's a religion now of doing and not doing. I do this and I don't do that. Are you still abiding in the relationship? Like, we must be religious of nature. I must pray religiously, regularly. I must read the Bible religiously, regularly. But I do it in order to seek him to hear his words, to observe his method and means and mercy and compassion in order that I might emulate it, that the Spirit of God through the voice of the Bible challenges me and changes me, shines a light upon the parts of my life that are still needing to be worked upon. Are you religious in an earthly sense, or are you walking in the way of Mary? It's far too easy for us to become upset because we feel that other people are not doing as much as we are doing. Jesus would gently, patiently, caringly, compassionately remind you and I, there is but one thing needed, and Mary has chosen it. And it would not be taken away from her. Christ is not going to rebuke someone for spending time with him, for giving their all to him, for sitting at his feet. Is he not the one who said, come unto me, all you who are tired and heavy laden, laboring, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it is easy to bear. Let us find, once again, joy in being with him. If you yourself see that your lifestyle has become a lifestyle of do's and don'ts, of simply being always in the hamster wheel of doings and doings and doings and doings and being distracted from Christ himself, then I would encourage you today, while it is still today, put things right. Acknowledge to the Lord, Lord, I see my mistake. It is a common mistake, and I recognize that I have done it. Please, Lord, help me to repent of this. Help me, Father, to turn from this. Enable me to be able to seek your face, to spend time with you, and then, beloved, spend time with him. Whenever that opportunity comes. Well, I don't have opportunity. Take 5 minutes to begin with, and I promise you 5 minutes will turn into an hour. As quick as that. I wouldn't know what to pray for. Well, there's people here in the congregation, every single person here. Pray for them to begin with. Pray for your pastor / elders. They certainly need a lot of prayer. Pray for our children in this congregation who still don't know Christ, that the Lord would open up their hearts, that he would open up their eyes, that he would grant them faith that they might believe in Christ. Pray for your mothers and your fathers, your brothers and your sisters who don't know Christ. Spend time together with him in the Word. Lord, I want to see Jesus this day. What do you have to say? And begin to develop a lifestyle. Not just something you're going to do for a day or a week or a month, but a lifestyle for a lifetime. That you have changed the pattern of your behavior. You're no longer just running at that wall all the time. You change your behavior in order that you might glorify him, that you might be nourished all the more, that you might be blessed. And we see this woman, Mary, as a result of her adorations, devotions, discipleship to Christ, she is the lady who anoints his feet. She's the lady who anoints his head. Her brother dies from an illness, and Christ raises him from the dead 4 days later. This was a devoted family. A family that I believe that learned this lesson and was used of God. And we still remember them today, 2,000 years later, for their acts of devotion and service. We see the fruit of their spending time with Christ. Beloved, let me encourage you to spend time with Christ, not to make the mistake of Martha, becoming so distracted by worldly, earthly things that you have no time, no legitimate time for Christ. Don't do that. Christ spoke gently and compassionately, lovingly to Martha, and I believe he would do the same to us today. Spend more time in his presence. Doesn't mean that you sacrifice things that need to be done at the expense of serving. I can't serve you today because I'm spending time with Jesus. That doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. If you are truly loving Christ, spend time with him. Amen? Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us as always. We thank you for the wonderful gift of life that we have received through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are very conscious that we do oftentimes fall into the trap of becoming so distracted by the work, so distracted by the things that need to be done, by the things that we feel that only we can do, that we become embittered, we become angry and impatient and frustrated at those around us that we deem as being inactive. Our Lord, help us to have a balanced view of the Christian life. Lord, not to sit at your feet and sacrifice serving, or to serve and sacrifice sitting at your feet listening to your word. But Lord, help us to do the also. Help us to walk in the middle way, to have a balanced life, to have a rich and fertile and fruitful service. Lord, we witness what you did through this little family. Lord, we are amazed at the account of Lazarus. Lord, we know how much you love that family and love them still. We do know that they are still alive in Christ. Help us, O God, to emulate them, to learn our lessons. Lord, not to blindly run in the error of Martha and just keep giving and giving and giving and giving. But Lord, help us to do what needs to be done and then to sit at your feet, to hear your words, to drink in your goodness, your mercy, your compassion, to be nourished by your Spirit in our innermost being. Lord, we pray for those who do not know you. Lord, who know not the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, who do not have the confidence of the knowledge that you are there watching over them and keeping them safe. Father, who stand outside your mercy in the full face of your wrath, we ask, O God, that you would convict them of their sin. Lord, that you would show them your compassion. That, Lord, that you would speak and that you would draw them in. Lord, that you'd overwhelm them with your love. You would save them, that they would be yours. Oh, God, we do pray this for your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.